Good morning. Welcome in to the Beacon. We are halfway, more than halfway through September.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Those
we passed the halfway
leaves.
Mark. September's my favorite month.
Fall from by
Do you know
my
what's
window.
In 10 days?
What?
Do you know what's in 10 days?
No.
My 40th birthday. 40th.
Really?
It's happening. Wow. It's really happening. Yeah.
You know, that's when things start to sag and blow out.
You know what, honey? I'm already there.
You're sagging and blowing out?
You know, I'm not sagging and blowing out, but I'm wrinkly. I have wrinkles around my eyes when I smile that make me crazy.
Oh.
I know. Like, the rest of my face is pretty, you know, pretty even
you
still,
could,
but
you,
boy,
you
when I...
Botox around your eyes.
You know, I considered it, actually. I don't think I ever could. Like, I have... There's so many more things in the world that I would rather spend my money on, but...
Botox.
You know what? I look at those... wrinkles and I'm like oh god
it's
happening
old.
It's really happening.
See, there's a good thing about being blind.
Yeah.
You can't see that happen to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's true. You may not have, I don't know, maybe you do have the complex, but I but at least you can't fixate on yourself in the mirror.
No,
and go, oh
sure.
God, it's
yeah,
another
a,
oh, yeah. You know what, there's much bigger problems in the world.
That's
so
right.
I don't fixate for
like,
long.
Whether it's skim milk or
exactly
milk or stuff like that.
You better believe it, baby.
She's gonna have her segment coming up too later.
I
on,
am.
Aren't
she? It's
will.
Not gonna be as gross or
this time around.
Yeah, okay. You know, but you just kind of have to put. I mean, I could. I won't. I'm. You know, yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
We'll keep it benign.
That sounds good.
We'll keep it family friendly this week.
We're gonna start out with a new topic about a company actually out in Irvine, California.
No, I know
that's
it well.
Producing what they call, it's Autofocus is the company, and they're producing an implant that kind of neutralizes your vision as you get older.
Boy.
You know, so you don't have to have reading glasses and that sort of
really?
Thing.
Really?
And it's being done here locally as well.
So is it almost like a camera, like an autofocus on a camera where it's sort of...
I think so. I think it's similar to that. And they create a little pocket in your cornea.
Wow.
You know, it's like a kangaroo's pouch.
Okay.
And they put this implant in there, and it heals over by itself without any stitches. But I'll let the experts tell you about that. I don't know much about it. But the Kraft Institute is doing it here.
Yeah, Dr. Coleman from the Kraft Institute. He's currently performing the procedure. And I just threw my pen across the room. And
are you mad at me or something?
I missed you, darn.
Honestly.
He talks about the actual process and how they were part of the research to gain
the
FDA
dog,
approval.
Maybe?
He's asleep in the corner. I won't bother him.
Okay, right. I thought maybe, though, you know, to get the pen or something.
I got it.
You
didn't
it?
Even know I was gone.
Wow, I didn't. That's
I
for sure.
He's very slick like that.
And then we may have something from Sandra.
Possibly. Is
yes.
That maybe we'll have something
well,
from Sandra?
Well, you never know.
We'll see
she's
if she
always
comes
got
in
something
today.
Interesting to say.
We'll see if she comes
see
in
if
today.
She wakes up enough to.
Come
you know,
on,
to
Sandy.
Get in. That's it. And then finally.
What?
Our boys.
Our boys.
Our boys are back.
They are. They're
that's
back
right.
in town.
That's
our boys are Brian and Tom.
That's right.
Brian and Tommy. Does anyone ever call them Tommy?
I don't think so.
You know what? I won't go into this. Never mind.
It's TJ, right?
Yeah. But you know what? So we named him Thomas John after Chris's grandpa and my dad.
Right.
And for me, Thomas John was the package deal. It was Thomas and John. I like, and I've talked about this before, I like more like... You know, less common, less traditional names. But I kind of was sold on Thomas John because it was a family name. So I was like, okay, Thomas John, Thomas John. Well, now my husband just calls him Thomas all the time. And I'm like,
oh,
I wouldn't have named him Thomas.
Oh.
I mean, the traditional names have their place in the world. I don't
right.
want to offend anybody, especially our friend Tom Persky. But... either Thomas John or I would have thought of a different name.
Right.
I wouldn't have gone with Thomas. It's just so formal and so stiff.
You would probably come up
and...
with like Vogel or something. Vogel.
I had a couple of names on the table that weren't that crazy.
Like what?
Shiloh. I like the name Shiloh and I stick by that. Shiloh. I like it.
Okay.
I don't remember. That was 4 years ago.
Come on.
I don't remember.
You remember.
I really don't.
Well, you
boys, you know what? Boys were hard. Reese, I had a laundry list of names
for
her.
You had a whole, you are heading toward 40, aren't you?
Yeah. No, but you know what? Chris and I had a really hard time coming up with a name for TJ. Really hard time.
He would have had his own song.
I know.
The wonderful, talented Neil Diamond.
Oh, so, really? I love Neil Diamond.
There is a song called Shiloh.
Oh, wow.
But listen, let's get into the autofocus here. And we will visit with a representative from the company and also the Kraft Institute right after this.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because more than 1,000 Americans develop Alzheimer's every day. At our website, you can learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease.
We like to talk about new products that are available to help you improve your vision on the Beacon. And one of those products is called the Camera Inlay. It's made by AccuFocus Company, Irvine, California, and joining me on the telephone is a guy who's got a name that should make him an actor, and since he's located out in California, it would almost be a natural thing. Nick Tarantino, right?
That's right, Bill. Thank you.
And you're not Italian at all, are you?
I am, as a matter of fact.
I can understand that. Well, how you doing? I'm so glad you could join us on the program this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about the product itself, this camera inlay. How does it work, and is it a surgical implant, or what happens?
Yeah, so the camera inlay was developed because there's a clear need for a treatment for presbyopia. Mm-hmm. We know that as we get older, we lose the ability to focus up close. Many times we can see great in the distance, but we lose that ability to focus up close, and it's just a normal aging process. And there are products that are out there and other techniques that are out there to be able to treat presbyopia. Mm. However, not many of them really are completely satisfactory. Most of them have some type of a compromise of either vision at one distance being a little blurred, or maybe the contrast sensitivity not being so great, or other types of things mm-hmm. like this. What this product then was done was developed to be able to address some of those compromises and to be able to provide good range of vision from distance all the way through far, despite our advancing ages. So what this is, it's a very small inlay. It's made of a plastic called polyvinylidene difluoride, and it's very small. It's about 3.8 millimeters in diameter.
Mm, wow. Yeah, that is small.
And it has a 1.6 millimeter aperture.
Okay.
And much like in photography, as you decrease the aperture size, you're able to not only focus on your object, which might be out in space somewhere, but the foreground and the background. So therefore, it extends depth of focus. And by having this small aperture, we then create a pocket within the cornea. The cornea is about half a millimeter thick.
Mm-hmm.
And a laser is then used to create a pocket close to about two-thirds to a halfway down into the cornea. And then this very small inlay is placed within that pocket right over the visual axis. And the cornea heals and seals itself, and that's basically it. And what we've been able to find with this product is that patients have good binocular distance vision, good intermediate vision, and good near vision. And seems to work really very well.
This sounds like it's something that could replace the bifocal or the bifocal contact lens, that sort of thing.
You know, that's exactly the idea, because, you know, people who rely on either glasses or contact lenses tend to
forget them.
Frustrated,
yeah.
You know, with always having to have them on or find them or whatever. And again, this is a means to able to reduce that frustration.
That is true. Now, this is on the market right now, correct?
It is. It was approved by the FDA a couple months ago and has just been launched into the U.S. Now, it's been outside the U.S. for several years, but just recently, last couple months in the United States.
Over the years that it has been used as an implant in other countries, have you been able to, or has the company been able to track and see the effectiveness of it after, let's say, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. That is really one of the things that we're really excited about, because for most types of corrections for presbyopia, as we age, we need to increase the power of the lens that's necessary to be able to read up close. This is one that the longest that these have been implanted now are about 10 years. And we find that once this is implanted, up through 10 years, and we expect through the life of the patient that there should really be no requirement to change that. It's pretty permanent, and the effect lasts for as long as we can tell.
Is there a starting point as far as age is concerned when you would consider someone a good candidate for the camera inlay?
Yeah, so what happens is that usually when we hit our 40s, and typically early to mid, and in some cases late 40s, we start losing the ability to focus up close. Mm-hmm. And what we found with this product is that between the ages of about 45 to 60 is really the ideal range.
Okay. And the oldest person that has it implanted, because you said 10 years, what would, I'm not going to hold you to an exact figure, but how old would you say that person is?
There's one patient I know who's currently 72 who has it.
Wow, that's very impressive.
That was outside the U.S., obviously.
So now, obviously, this is a new product, and you had to do all types of testing to meet the FDA requirements. Are there going to be certain facilities around the country that are going to be more likely the places to go to have this implant done?
Yeah, so we are currently in the process of identifying ophthalmic surgeons who would be probably the most ideal to be able to implant this. And we've identified centers throughout the United States and regions throughout the United States for which we are going to do our initial training and have access for those surgeons. So, currently right now we're pretty much throughout the U.S., but we plan to expand that.
Is the a doctor, an ophthalmic surgeon who is inclined to do corneal surgery to begin with, like cataract removal and that sort of thing, would he be someone who would be definitely interested in doing something like this?
Exactly, because, cataract surgery on its own has really become more of a refractive procedure rather than just remove the cataract and allow the patient to see. Mm-hmm. And those surgeons, along with surgeons who really just focus on refractive surgery, LASIK, et cetera, are really the prime surgeons that would have access and be interested in this product.
It sounds like it's going to help a great deal of people, and being that we are becoming such an aging society now, I can see the potential for growth for the company and for the product to be almost endless, because people like to read, and what do you have more time to do when you retire or when you want to spend some free time is to read when you get when you get up there in those golden years.
Yeah, that's exactly right, our population demographics, not only in the U.S. but throughout the world, is really an aging population, and the number of people who can benefit from this are going to continue to grow.
Are you going to have a website available where someone who might be interested in this could go, first of all, to learn more about it and maybe see a picture of it, that sort of thing, and then show a listing of centers around the country that are doing the implant right now?
Yeah, that's right. We have there's two sites. There's acufocus.com and camera.com, and those websites do point to surgeons who are currently trained and who can implant the inlay.
Wow. So this has been around for about a decade already, and I'm sure research to develop it has started a long time ago as well. So I wish you guys the best of luck, and you know, we'll have that information here if anybody needs it, and try to make sure we can get it up on our website as well, so they can use that as a reference point to see if this would be a product that they would be definitely interested in.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. And we do have all that information on the websites, and it's going to be a really exciting product.
Okay, are you now? This is one thing I forgot that I wanted to ask. How do you do the refraction for it to determine which would be right? And is it the type of procedure that would be applicable to both eyes, or you know, would the procedure be done in both eyes at once, or separately, like they do the cataract implant?
Yeah. So. This is a really interesting type situation whereby the inlay is only implanted into one eye. And, you know, in terms of where we have a certain hand in this, right and left, we also have an ocular dominance where one eye might be dominant. We place this in the non-dominant eye.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, we get the great effect of again, having really nice distance vision, intermediate and near.
Okay, good, and it complements the dominant eye as well. So
that's right.
That's cool. Well, listen, Nick, enjoy California. I hope you guys get some water out there eventually.
That's what we need.
Well, I can't believe how long that drought has been going on. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a rough one, but we're hoping this winter it's going to be good for us.
I hope so too. That's Nick Tarantino. I still think you should be an actor. Give up this eye stuff and become an actor. You know, you could be one of those tough guys like Robert Duvall in it. You know, with a name like Nick Tarantino. So
there you go.
He's
that's my second career.
That's right. He's with AccuFocus out in Irvine, California. Our program's The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurek. We'll be back with more after this.
I feel like it's all on my shoulders. How am I going to take care of my parents if they develop an eye disease like glaucoma? Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in African Americans and Hispanics in the United States. And what about my kids? Will they inherit it? Not to mention my risk factor. I'm really concerned and I need some answers.
Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for answers, including a free brochure on glaucoma.
You know, we just talked with Nick from the company that is developing a very unique product that will help people to be able to adjust their focus as we get older. And we know we're getting into a much older society these days. Dr. Coleman Kraft is joining us for the Kraft Institute here in Chicago. And he not only is one of the participating surgeons to do the implant work, but he has also been involved with the research part of it as well when the product was being developed. Dr. Coleman, I was going to call you. Dr. Kraft, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, and I know you've taken time out of your busy schedule for the patient visits today. What was your reaction when they came to you with this whole idea?
Well, you know, about 4 to 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 5 to 6 years ago, the company, the AccuFocus company, started a multi-center clinical trial, and we've been over the last several years, or a couple decades actually, our practices have been involved in a number of clinical trials for the correction of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism.
Mm-hmm.
And when they approached us with this unique idea to correct the need for reading glasses, you know, we felt that this was something that there was an area that was not being addressed, and that if their technology worked, it could have, you know, we could add it to one of the tools that we use in order to correct vision. And so after evaluating it and knowing some of the other physicians that were getting involved in the clinical trial, as well as some of the people involved in running the company, I elected to get involved as their principal investigator in Chicago.
And you have done quite a few of these implants already, right?
We have, and we followed these patients for the last 4 to 5 years, as part of the FDA protocol. And when we look at our data as well as the collated data, results from around the country, you know, it's quite impressive that when patients are selected properly and we use the right criteria for patient selection, the results for correcting the need for reading glasses is quite good, and patients are happy.
What kind of age range are you looking at?
So the FDA approved this for patients between 45 and 60, and that's when people start to need reading glasses, usually around mid-40s, and then it usually progresses to mid to late 50s.
Okay. You see a bright future for this product. Then will it eventually replace the reading glasses and the bifocal that we're so used to seeing?
Well, I don't think it will do that completely, but I think because the criteria for selection of patients is important, I think there will be a select group of people that will respond well to this treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that this is for everybody,
right.
but there is a high percentage of people in that age range that might benefit from it. This is not for people that wear contact lenses. This is not for people that wear glasses for far and near.
Okay.
Right now, this is for patients or potential patients that really just wear glasses for reading.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it might be for people that have had prior LASIK surgery.
Sure.
Or prior, maybe it's someday even younger people that have had prior cataract surgery. But again, it's primarily right now for people that have just require reading glasses for their visual correction.
Does the procedure take a long time to do, and is the patient able to go home the same day?
So it's a in-office procedure. We have our laser in our office, so it utilizes a laser, a femtosecond laser, to make a pocket in the cornea.
Mm-hmm.
It's microscopic. And then we place this inlay in the cornea. It looks kind of similar to the size of a pupil. The center of it is clear. And it works, the mechanism by which it works is increasing the depth of focus of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't compromise the distance vision, but it improves the near vision by increasing the depth of focus. It's not a lens. It's an inlay think of it like a small microscopic donut is
okay.
What it is.
Okay. And then it would help people who are having trouble with that as we get older, we hear the complaint about look how small the print is getting.
You got it.
Yeah.
It helps those people so they can go into a restaurant and read a menu without glasses, so they can look at their smartphone without having to increase the font, and looking at a price tag in a store without having to pull out their reading glasses. That's the goal.
Well, that's cool. If they want to get more information, do you you guys obviously, I know you do, have a website.
Right.
Is there a specific link that the potential client could go to? Or
yeah, if you go to crafteye.com, and on our website, there's a link that talks about the AccuFocus camera.
Mm-hmm.
They can call our office, and if they mention that they're interested in the camera inlay, then we can give them information about it.
Okay, cool. And then the procedure itself is, like you said, in office, so it takes probably no more than about 45 minutes to go through the whole thing.
The procedure is less than that, but there is a lot of, you know, preoperative evaluation. It's important, like I said, to select patients that are very good candidates for this.
Cool. I'll give you a free plug to the phone number for the Kraft.
It's an easy phone number, 312. 444-1234.
That sounds great. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to the good work that you're doing, and I appreciate you giving a local focus on what, pardon the pun.
Thank you very much.
Giving a local focus on it.
I like the local focus.
And say hi to Dad, too.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That
bye-bye.
Is Dr. Coleman Kraft, and we were talking about the new procedure, the camera corneal implant that will actually help improve your vision if you need reading glasses. The show's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
Unable to work because of insurance and disabilities? Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities is a state health insurance program for working individuals with disabilities. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com for more information.
I'm having issues over here.
We're still talking about names
I'm
off the air.
Traumatic. I haven't talked to my husband about it. I think that's part of the problem.
Shiloh, I always think of that long thing that stands next to a barn. Oh, no, wait. That's a silo.
That's right. You know what? You gave me an idea. I think I'm just going to start calling him Shiloh from now on. just Shiloh, because that's the name that I like. Thomas, you can call him Thomas. His name is Shiloh. All right, thanks. Thanks for the advice. I'm going to tell him that you told me.
Said,
nope.
You
gave me the idea.
No. Don't get
Shiloh Kleeman.
No. Thank you
very much.
Thank you. No, thanks. I don't want to be part of this. This is a family issue.
All right.
I don't get involved in family issues.
No, you're already involved, whether you like it or not.
I have too many or not. I have my own.
You got enough of your own. Yeah,
so tell me, what's going on in the Let Us Turn Up the Beat
segment? Well, we're going to talk about how you can real foodify.
Puss again this week?
No, pus. No, I'm sorry. I know that was enjoyable last week. The visual and everything is so lovely. No, family friendly this week. So we're going to real foodify your meals. So kind of tying into last week, don't use anything fat-free. Don't use fat-free sour cream. Don't use fat-free yogurt. Don't use fat-free milk. Don't use fat-free butter. Just use the real stuff.
You know, cardiologists all over the city are
I know, they're turning over.
They're turning red in their head and bursting veins in their head.
I know, but you know what? This is all relatively new research. Yeah. And I mean, the science is there, and we can dispute it all we want. I you know, and take it for what it is. You know, our listeners, if they want to continue with the fat-free and the low-fat, by all means, go for it. And, you know, I mean, there are certainly health provisions that you need to be careful of. Diabetics need to watch what they eat. I mean, there are absolutely, this is not an umbrella blanket statement that everybody must follow this rule.
But see, that's unfortunately the way people take it.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Yep. But I mean, you cannot dispute the fact that food in its whole unprocessed real form is better for you than the alternative. Right. And I'm sticking with that.
So how are we healthifying the food
for
the family?
So we're not using fat-free stuff.
Okay.
Second of all, when something calls for salt, use real sea salt. So
I like a lot.
Yes, it's quite good. It's quite good. And there is a difference. And you know what? And this is something that even I didn't pay much attention to. There's a difference between salt and sodium. Our body needs salt. Our body needs salt to replenish electrolytes and whatnot. So salt is not necessarily a bad thing, but you just need to get it from the right source. And sea salt in its pure form is a very good source of salt. You do, however, want to avoid white salt, because white is usually an indication that it's been bleached, which again is processed, and we don't want to ingest bleach, right?
Well, I love sea salt. And they have sea salt and pepper on bagel chips.
Oh, yeah. It's so great. Ugh. It's so great. Sea salt is delicious. And you can get grinders, like spice grinders at Trader Joe's. Yeah. And they sell pink Himalayan sea salt at Trader Joe's in one of those grinders. And so they do actually recommend that the salt that you get, salt comes in a variety of colors in its natural form.
Really?
And that those colors are minerals that are being added to the salt. And it's highly recommended.
Okay.
So instead of just buying the grocery store brand finely ground sea salt, or not sea salt, regular salt. Look for sea salt that hasn't been processed, and you can find those again at Trader Joe's. And their little spice grinders are like $1.99 or something.
Cool.
They're really, really affordable.
They're really cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So use sea salt when it's needed, and find it in its natural form.
Okay.
You
Next.
Want to avoid artificial food coloring. There's quite a bit of evidence, actually, that especially reds and blues are, they create a lot of problems in kids, ADHD being one of them. Mm-hmm. So avoid artificial food coloring at all costs. And, you know, just kind of as an aside, red food coloring often comes from a specific bug that's been crushed. Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, obviously, it's not like the bug that they put in the bottle, but that's where they derive red food coloring from.
All these wonderful things.
You know what?
To the table.
See, here's why people are dying. Here's why people are killing themselves with food, because they don't have the facts.
Right.
So these are the facts.
Right.
This stuff is horrible for you. They do have all natural food colorings that you can get. You can buy them on Amazon. I would imagine Whole Foods or something along those lines would also sell.
Probably Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. Yeah, exactly. So if you're going to use food coloring, make sure you just get it from a natural.
Where do you get blue from?
I don't know. Okay. I honestly don't know. I know that red, most of the natural food colorings are derived from like vegetable bases. So not that they taste like vegetables, but that's
Speaking
where they get their
beet.
Coloring. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
and then
lastly, if you're going we didn't have a whole long list this week. If we're going to do condiments, look for, don't buy pre-made condiments. Now, obviously, that's the easy thing to do, but things like ketchup and barbecue sauce are loaded with sugar. If you look at the ingredients list on most commercial barbecue sauces or ketchup, the first or second ingredient is sugar, and there's no reason for that.
How about wonderful mayonnaise or Miracle?
You know what? I love mayonnaise, but as a vegan, I started eating veganaise, which actually it's a vegan version of mayonnaise, and it tastes exactly like mayonnaise. It's very good, but a lot of that stuff is still pretty highly processed. So what I usually like to do instead of mayonnaise is if you soak cashews, or I just soak them in really hot water for about a half hour, then I puree them in my Nutribullet, and it creates a creamy base. And so you can use that as a mayonnaise and just add whatever flavoring you want to it. I mean, if you just want like a simple salt and pepper, just do that. Or you can add lemon, or I like to put chipotle cream in mine, so you get like a chipotle mayo. You know, and that's really easy, very easy to do. I mean, it takes a little bit of pre-planning, but it's easy enough to do.
We're going to have to get you a TV show to go along with this.
All right. Okay. Yeah, let's do it. I'm okay with that.
So that's your healthy tips for the family.
Healthy tips for the family. Real foodify your meals.
And, of course, it'll be on our Facebook page, which is?
Chicago Beacon, or you can follow us on Twitter at Chicago Beacon.
And we'll be back with more right after this.
Sure. Humans can be a little weird at times. But take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
There you go.
Good stuff, good news.
Thank you. Good stuff, good news.
Good news.
I like it.
We have Miss Sandra Morello with us with something interesting in Sandy's view.
A recent study from the CDC shows that about 50% of people with disabilities are inactive. In other words, they do not participate in a lot of sports or recreational activities. The Lakeshore Foundation in Alabama is working hard to reduce this statistic. Joining us today is Megan Rowe. She's the director of the Sports Education Camp. This is a camp tailored for young people with vision impairments. And we also have Mary Ellison Cook, who will also talk to us about the Lakeshore Foundation. Thank you both for joining us today.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for having us.
Great. We'll start off with Megan. Megan, can you tell us a little bit about the sports education camp for children?
So we offer a sports education camp for youth who have a visual impairment. Mm-hmm. This year, we brought in sports such as goalball, judo, swimming, track and field, and we introduced these sports to these kids, and we help them learn about it, learn how to get active, and learn that they can be included in all these sports if they choose to be on a sports team. So this year, our youngest was 8 years old, all the way up to 17. Mm-hmm. We had a week-long camp. It goes from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, and we just introduced these sports. We brought in Paralympic athletes and coaches in the past. This year, we worked with a group out of Tennessee, Dynamic Dragon Boat Racing, to bring in some dragon boats and kind of introduce the kids to the sport of rowing in a different way.
Sure. And now I know that in many cases, some of these kids with, you know, who are either blind or visually impaired, they might not have had exposure to this or any other sports. Have you found that that's the case with the campers?
Yeah, sometimes this is their first exposure to sport and physical activity and recreation. But there are some kids that come to camp who already participate in sports in different organizations around Birmingham and around the surrounding areas, and they're just here to practice their skills and to share what they know to other campers.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this camp, is it specifically for kids in Alabama, or is it open to everyone? How does it work?
We normally serve kids located in around Birmingham. Anyone who wants to participate is welcome to join our camp and to sign up.
Mm-hmm. For how many years have you guys been holding this camp?
The camp, this is Megan's first year to run the camp, and she has only been at Lakeshore for 2 years. But the camp began back in the early 2000s, I believe in 2005 or 2006.
Oh, great.
By an employee named Jen Armbruster. She is a Paralympic goalball athlete, and she worked at Lakeshore for many years, and she kind of developed the curriculum and developed the idea for the camp. So it's been going on since about the early 2000s.
And now, Mary Ellison, can you tell us more about the Lakeshore Foundation? I know you mentioned goalball, and I know that you guys offer opportunities not just for people with vision impairments, but also with other disabilities, you know, and of all ages.
Yes, so Lakeshore Foundation is located in Birmingham, Alabama, and we are an adapted sport, recreation, and aquatic center for people with physical disability and chronic health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We serve individuals age 6 months all the way up. I believe we have 5 members over the age of 100.
Wow.
So we have a very diverse population of all different types of physical disability and chronic health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer many different sport programs. But we also offer aquatic programs, daily fitness classes. We have a 6,000 square foot fitness center that individuals can use independently.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a lot of great recreation programs so kids can learn how to be physically active through play.
Sounds like there's, you know, things for people of all levels, you know, whether you're a beginner or whether you're a professional athlete. It sounds like you guys have quite a variety of things and programs.
Right.
At your center.
And we're also... since Lakeshore kind of began back in the mid-80s,
mm-hmm.
we've always have kind of talked about Lakeshore as being a place where people can come.
Mm-hmm.
But we really are morphing into not just a place where people can come, but a resource for people across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 3 pillars that we like to focus on, one being our pillar of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have our pillar of research. We have a research collaborative with the University of Alabama at Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
here in Birmingham, where we do all different research projects with people with disability. And then we also have our policy side. So we're also working within our community to help individuals with physical disability be more active in their community and have equal rights with people without physical disability.
Really? That's interesting. And what kind of research do you, is it related to physical activity in people with disabilities, or what kind of research?
Yes, and our research studies are very broad and
mm-hmm.
varied.
Sure.
Right now we're doing a study, an active video game study
mm-hmm.
for youth, where we are working with active video gaming systems like the Wii, like the Xbox Kinect, and we are trying to make those systems as inclusive as possible
mm-hmm.
for kids and adults with physical disabilities. So when they go over to their friend's house and maybe they can't work the Wii controller properly, we're making adaptations to the physical nature of the gaming system.
Mm-hmm.
So kids and adults with physical disabilities can use those gaming systems. We also have some long-term studies for people with physical disability, and we're really working to get baseline data for people with physical disabilities because health studies for people with physical disability, we don't have a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get as much research and baseline data and information as possible.
You know, here at the Lighthouse, we have a blog, and a while ago I was writing a post about physical activity among people with vision impairments and disabilities. And like you said, there really isn't a lot of data or statistics to show the need that's out there, show how much activity people are participating in. So it's great that, you know, centers like yours are becoming involved in this and advocating as well. Is the advocacy just in your community, or is it also involved in the political world?
It's not necessarily in the political world, but we do advocate both locally
sure.
And nationally.
Sure.
We had representation 2 months ago at the UN for their convention for persons with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke there on behalf of Lakeshore, as well as a few of my colleagues, about a campaign called Commit to Inclusion,
mm-hmm.
Commit to Inclusion International. So we're really in many different areas of policy, both on the local level, working with local transportation, all the way to the UN, making sure that a child in Cambodia has access to adaptive sports.
That's great. That's great. And how can people find out more about these research and advocacy efforts, or how can they become a member of the Lakeshore Foundation and facilities there?
Right. So the easiest kind of way to find more about Lakeshore Foundation is to visit our website.
Mm-hmm.
That is at www.lakeshore.org, LakeSHore.org. At lakeshore.org, you can find information on membership, if you qualify for membership, all the programs that we offer, as well as the facilities that we offer here. If you would like to become a member, you can download membership paperwork online at our website, or you can stop by our facility in Birmingham. I guess the downfall to Lecture Foundation is that there's only one of us in the U.S., and we're located in Birmingham. So it would be quite difficult for an individual living in California or in Chicago to become a member. But the great thing about Lecture is we do have different camps for youth, particularly in the summer and throughout the year, that are open to anyone, whether they be a member of Lecture or not. So, for instance, SEC camp, if an individual from another state or city wanted to come to SEC camp next year, that could be a possibility.
Yeah, and, you know, this show, besides airing in Chicago, we also broadcast our show online. We also broadcast it on the ACB website, the American Council of the Blind. So, you know, a lot of people, both from Birmingham, from California, from Chicago, you know, anyone can has access to it, like you said, in case they would like to register their child or like to learn more about your efforts or anything that's going on at Lakeshore. Megan, how can people find out more specifically about the SEC camp to register or any other questions they might have?
On the Lakeshore website, there is a list of camps available during the summer at Lakeshore. That will have just a very basic level of information for the camp. My contact information, though, is on the website. And so anyone who is interested in coming to camp or just wants to know more about it, they're more than welcome to email me or give me a call, and we can chat about camp.
Great. That's wonderful. Now, is there anything else you girls would like to add?
I would like to add one more thing. Sure. We do have another unique resource here at Lakeshore called NICPAD. That stands for the National Center on Health, Physical Activity, and Disability. And NICPAD is basically, it's many things, but one thing that it is a website at NICPAD.org. That is NCHPAD.org, and it is a resource on all things disability, both physical disability and intellectual disability. So you can go to NICPAD.org, and if you do live in an area that is not close to Birmingham, NICPAD will send you or guide you to different resources in your area. So you can perhaps find a summer camp that's appropriate for your child with a visual impairment, or maybe you need something, another resource for another person that you know. But NICPAD is a great, great resource that we strongly encourage our members to use, as well as those who don't live locally that aren't able to become members, but also can be physically active in their community in an inclusive environment.
Great. And once again, that's
NCHPAD.org,
correct?
Yep, NCHPAD.org.
Great, great. That's wonderful. Well, if anyone would like to find out more about the Lakeshore Foundation or about the sports education camp, you can visit www.lakeshore.org. You know, you can find out more information there about any of their resources. Megan and Mary Ellison, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks. And everyone, for more information on this topic or other topics that we've covered on Sandy's View, you can visit our blog. The address to that is Sandy's View 1, that's S-A-N-D-Y-S, View 1, .wordpress.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
She's always got some good stuff.
She is a delight.
And you know what I like about her is she really like invests in doing important things.
Do you?
Appreciate
you
that.
May not know about. Yeah, I think I've told you this off the air, and I don't know if the audience knows about this, but Sandra is a graduate in journalism from the University of Illinois in Champaign.
I think you might have mentioned
she
that.
She is.
That's pretty significant.
A wonderful researcher. She is a very organized person, and she gets a lot of pleasure in doing her work.
And you can see that.
And you
she
can
takes
see
pride
it.
In it. She does a very thorough job. It's not like she's getting it done at the last minute. She really pays attention to it.
You know, and one thing I like to do is always give people an opportunity.
You do.
Because if you got what it takes and nobody else can see it, maybe I can see it, and maybe then by giving you a platform, somebody else will notice you and be
you
able to.
You really are very, very good about that. That
like
is very true.
I really like doing that. I like working with the young people, too, because it's important for them to know that there are other things out there to do if they're visually impaired.
Right.
Than piano tuning and sitting with a cup of pencils on the street,
I know.
Or those stereotypical jobs.
You're absolutely right, yes.
But speaking of a stereotypical job...
I don't even know where you're... I can't take it from you. I don't know where you're going with it. Yeah.
We're rounding the corner again. You know, these guys are going to have to start thinking about taking that swing down again.
Yeah, they are,
because
winter's right around the corner.
We're going to need kindling for the fireplace again.
We are.
You know?
It's crazy. I'm excited, though.
Pretty soon they're going to have to come out there with hot chocolate instead of lemonade.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
and as I said earlier on the show, the autumn leaves...
Did you say that earlier?
Fall by the wind... Here they are.
It's another Saturday morning edition of Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins, and good morning, Tom. How are you?
Brian, doing really well.
That's
How about
good.
You?
I'm doing fine. The weather's great. There's lots of football to watch, so I can't complain.
Right, right. Hey, you know, we've been out in the community a lot doing our road shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then last Saturday, we had a seminar that was held on Macular Degeneration Association.
Right.
And I can't believe how many people are coming up saying, hey, I listen to your show every Saturday. And I was leaving work the other day, and Fred and Corky from Glencoe stopped me. Hey, we listen to your show every Saturday. I'm starting to feel like a celebrity,
oh,
I think.
Do they recognize your voice when they hear you talk?
Or? I think that's part of it, you know? Or do they say, is that Tom over there?
Uh-huh.
So I'm starting to feel a little bit like a radio star.
All right. Well, good morning to all those folks who are tuning in, and thank you for doing so. But you are expanding your media empire, so to speak. You're going to do a conference coming up, but this is in October, right?
We have a conference that I thought I would talk about today called Vision Connections, and it's going to be held on Saturday, October 17th in Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there hasn't been a low vision conference in the Midwest in about 4 or 5 years since we did the Enlighten conference out in Schaumburg about 5 years ago. And it just, I think it's, it can be a turning point in somebody's life to go to a conference. And what I mean by that is to be able to hear speakers who are doctors who are up on the latest medical emerging therapies and treatments, to hear practitioners both from an optometric point of view, occupational therapists, psychologists who study and do research on the effects of vision impairment and blindness, and to get it all in one place, I think, and then to have like an exhibit hall where you can go in and actually talk to these companies, all the different products that are available, and then just meeting each other, just having a place where sort of like everybody in the room understands exactly what you're going through with if you're experiencing vision loss. It really can be a life changer. And so I think back to we had actually the Chicago Lighthouse and the Dyke Center. It had the very first low vision conference ever was actually held here in Chicago in 1991. And up to that point, you know, there had been conferences every year for like the American Council of the Blind, the National Federation of the Blind. And no one had really separated and said, okay, how about people with just low vision problems that maybe not experiencing the same kind of problems that as a blind person would? And so that was kind of neat. That was a very successful conference. We charged, I think, $15. And we had 3 days of speakers.
Wow.
And we had 800 people came. And it was pretty amazing. It was held downtown. And then in 1993, we did it again, and we had over 1,000 people came.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to 1995, 97, and so forth, all the way into through the middle of the 2000s. And, you know, it's really changed a little bit. I think I used to really feel more connection with all the people in the Midwest at some of these conferences because we were mixing together doctors and professionals and teachers and parents of visually impaired children and us people, you know, employment age and seniors with low vision all in one area. And there really hasn't been a venue like that for a long time, and I really miss that. So I think this group in Milwaukee, it's called Vision Forward, and they have some really great ideas. I know their staff very well, and I really commend them for being able to put on this conference. So I thought I would talk about it just for a few moments today.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you appear, what will you be talking about?
So I will be actually one of the featured speakers, and I'm going to be highlighted with, there's first a researcher, Dr. Kimberly Sipin, and she's going to be talking about, as I mentioned, emerging therapies for eye diseases. She's from the Medical College of Wisconsin.
Okay.
And mine is called Navigating Life with Vision Loss, Adjustment, Adaptation, and Advocacy. And so I'm going to probably talk a lot about some personal adjustments, embarrassing stories, things that really were difficult for me to adjust to, mm-hmm. those first 5 years of going through vision loss, how you adapt psychologically, how you adapt amongst your family and your friends. And then once you feel strong and you kind of understand how you can start to advocate for other people. One of the biggest things that was helpful for me was starting a support group for low vision people. And as I visit the suburbs in this area, there's quite a few support groups out there now that are helping people to sit in the same room and be able to understand when somebody tells a story or a frustration. Mm-hmm. Not only the empathy that you say, everybody's head is bobbing up and down like, yeah, I've been through that. And that's really helpful, because sometimes family members and other people in your world don't understand exactly what you're going through. But other people would chime in and say, well, have you tried this or have you tried that? And so it's a place to go to feel the comfort and support and to get good ideas about living with life and problems. So these self-help groups are important, and we will put together a list for our listeners so that if you live in the suburban areas, where you can go to maybe see some of these support groups.
Okay.
And be able to participate. But I say start your own, even if you have two or three people in your community. Maybe through your local township office is a good place, or maybe your local community center. Tell them you'd like to start a low vision group, and we'll actually help you. We'll help you promote it to get the people there to come. And as I said, even if it's a small group, I think it'll be really helpful for lots and lots of people with vision loss to be able to connect with each other and really make a difference in somebody's life. No need to go through some of these experiences by yourself.
And that conference is October 17th. We'll update you as we get closer to that date. But in the meantime, you are also going to be on the road at your road shows, and you have dates coming up this September.
We do. So actually next Wednesday right away is the show that we like to do in Worth. Is part of the private bank, has a, it's called Founders Square location in the south suburbs. And it's our regular time is from 10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. It's free, it's open to the public. And it's 7103 West 111th Street is the address in Worth.
Okay.
And the private bank has been really great in helping us with a free location. It's a really beautiful room. You know, the private bank has also helped us recently with financing for people who are looking to purchase equipment. And we have that information in our store as well.
Okay.
In fact, they've had a special grant or special help for people who maybe their credit score is not quite the greatest and couldn't get a personal loan otherwise. They have a special program for people. So those of you who are considering getting one of these new products that we talk about, the private bank has financing, and it doesn't take long to apply. And we have all the applications here. Again, 1-800-919-3375.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah. What else do we have going? Wednesday, September 30th, we have a show coming up at Frankfurt location, the Frankfurt Township offices, which is 11000 West Lincoln Highway. And that's a beautiful room. We love going there. And floor-to-ceiling windows and looks out over the trees and the grass. We don't see many trees around here at the at the Chicago Lighthouse. So we enjoy going there. And we hope that you can come or bring family members, bring things that you would like to be able to read and to be able to sew, or if you're using crafts, and bring all those things, personal items with you. We can sit down, we can try some of these products, mm-hmm. many, many new products to help people with macular degeneration. We've helping people recently with diabetic retinopathy, kind of turn their life around. Also glaucoma. So we've been real busy, and we're excited to be able to meet you and to help you and your family cope with the loss of vision.
Right, and yeah. There probably won't be too many more road shows because you always take off the winter months. So if you have a chance to get to the ones that are scheduled, I would advise that you do so.
Right, right.
All right, well, thanks. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
It was probably before you got here.
It might have been. There used to be
a Ford dealer, Harry Schmerler.
Harry Schmerler Ford.
They used to call him the singing Ford man.
Wow. So,
when I did the auto bleeds there, the couple of lines,
uh-huh.
I thought, oh, no. You're going to think I'm Harry Schmerler. Not to say anything bad about that or anything. Because I bought four Fords from him.
Did you? He must have been doing something right.
He did something right. He got your attention. You remembered his name.
That's right. That's the key. Like Bob Roorman, if ever I'm in the market for a new car, Bob Roorman. Yes, because it sticks with you.
All right, now they both owe us money.
They do.
Anyway, thanks to Dr. Janet. Oh, she'll be happy. Dr. Janet Slick, our executive director at the Chicago Lighthouse, will very much welcome their dollars, but also she welcomes us every week to come to you and share some valuable information. And she's been doing that for almost, well, into our eighth year now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And many thanks to Friedman Place, too, who has partnered with the Lighthouse on maintained faith and, I don't know,
keeping on. And, of course, Sandra Murillo, our associate producer, who we could not give more kudos to than we do. And, of course, Brian Hawkins, the man of the hour, who is, he does that voodoo that he does so well.
Yes, I haven't used
that in a while.
You haven't. You know, it's time to bring it back.
That's right. So, Mighty House crew, stand by. We'll be clearing out of the studio, and you can move all your heavy-duty equipment in here and talk about something that will be really useful around the house for people. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
We'll see you back here next week on The Beacon on Chicago's Progressive Talk.